Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue in Judges here. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. And the Spirit of Yahuwah came upon him, speaking of Samson, of course, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Well, let's don't mess with Samson, right? Oh, man. Ashkelon. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And he went and set the brands on fire, and he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burn up both shocks and also standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine says, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson, and are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us? Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said to him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Wow. That's like, it's like your brethren coming up to you. You know, that call themselves your brethren over there in the corporate church. You're trying to keep the law of Yahuwah, the law of God, and that you do it. And they say, oh, we got to turn you into the police, man. Yes. We got to turn you into the police so that you can be punished. You know, didn't you commit that hate crime, things like that. And we'll see that kind of stuff going on, that people who call themselves Christians will turn in their brethren to the police power. And it shows you just how awfully comfortable people become under tribute and bondage and enslaved to another nation. Having another nation over them, they think, well, I'll just pay the tribute. I'll just live in peace. And they make whatever compromises that they have to make to continue their life in peace. Okay, so he says, Dad, just give me your word that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spoke to him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the spirit of Yahuwah came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it, and slew 3,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place Ramath Lehi, which means height of a jawbone. There you go, a place in Philistine. And he was sore athirst, and he called on Yahuwah and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God cleaved a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water therefrom. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of the place En Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And of course, the unto this day would be unto the day that that this was written by the one that transcribed the book of Judges. And I don't know if the place is still there and called the same thing unto the day that I'm reading this. But so it says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Seems like Samson went through this once before, didn't he? Okay, and Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And what is a withe? An overhanging. I guess that's kind of like a vine or something that was never dried. Then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. Then Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he broke them off his arms like a thread. Man. It's somewhat comical, you know, reading through this story again. And this woman doing the same thing over and over. So you'll have to forgive me if I chuckle here. But it does seem somewhat funny to me. And Delilah said to Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." He said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, you know, you think, well, it's obvious that she's going to betray him each time. So she says to him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I, a Nazarite, I have been a Nazarite unto God, and from my mother's womb, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." The vow of the Nazarite, being separated from God, was obedience. And that was something that was commanded to his parents, and of course to him, for as long as he lived, to be separated unto the Heavenly Father. And that was called, he was called a Nazarite, not to drink any wine or strong drink, and to never cut his hair, and especially to shave his head. So when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he knew not that Yahuwah was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of a country which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that we may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars upon whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Of course, now remember, Samson is blind. He can't see a thing because they put out his eyes. So now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines was there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson was made to sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, unto Yahuwah, and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left hand. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burial place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And really kind of a sad story, if you ask me. But the fame of Samson will never die. And you know what? I think perhaps in the resurrection, I'll have an occasion to have some words with Samson. I think we all will. Remember, we will have forever. And I believe eventually, those of us that trust and our Heavenly Father's plan for redemption, those of us who have crossed the border into His kingdom to obtain that treasure beyond treasures, yes, eternal life promised by the work of His Messiah, the shedding of His blood, which is applied to our account in the resurrection, we will have an eternity, and I'm certain that each and every one of us we'll have an occasion to get around to Samson. You know, a lot of people might think, well, I would never have done what Samson did. I would have never fallen for Delilah. Well, never say never. And you know, can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? And recall the story of Hosea. Who was commanded to take himself a wife, a harlot tree. And then recall Samson. Remember, it was of Yahuwah. He used the things of Samson's life. He used the negligence of his parents to discipline him and train him to in strict obedience to the Heavenly Father. He uses our weaknesses to work good in our lives. But I tell you what, if you don't love him, as the scripture, and I'm going to recall it again, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good, and that is all the evil that befalls us, whether through our own weakness, through the weakness of our parents, our grandparents, if it's not through the weakness of our parents and our grandparents, whether we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, all things, because even the best and the purest among us have faults that our Heavenly Father uses to cleanse us, to purify us, to conform us to the image of His only begotten Son. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Because whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And yes, that is one of my favorite memory verses, and I might have got a word out of place there, but I suggest everyone memorize those three verses and much more of Scripture. Because what a thing to remember. Because no matter what I'm going through, if they put me on a bundle of sticks, they bind me hand and foot to a post, and they pile the sticks around me like they did to so many of my brethren, my forebearers in the faith, and they light a fire to me, I can comfort myself with those words because all things work together. And I can look on those around me and go, wow, you need to repent. Those can be my thoughts. You need to repent because if you don't, things aren't going to work out so good for you. You may think it's not working out good for me because you're burning my flesh and killing my body with fire. But this is not forever because all flesh is like grass and it withers away. We need to be concerned with what comes after that point. Cross the border into his kingdom, obtain eternal life. There is absolutely nothing more important. And then endure in his kingdom, as the scripture says, that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Take it apart. Endures what? Well, you have to endure in his kingdom. And that means carrying the cross, putting off the things of the flesh, being separate from the world, enduring to the end. Yes, the end of your mortality. You have to endure it in his kingdom, because if you're not in his kingdom, when your mortality comes to its end, by whatever means, Mack truck, by fire, by firing squad, by old age, however it comes to its end, you must endure in his kingdom, living a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and doing it because you love him. You want to please him. And why do you love him? Because he loved you first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us. We return that love. And we can obtain eternal life in the resurrection. Like I said, I'll have occasion. I don't know when. What's going to happen first, but forever is a very long time. It's a never-ending time. And I certainly do look forward to it. I look forward to receiving that glorified body, though, like the one that Yahshua had when he rose from the dead. A body that could never die again, never suffer. And yes, he had flesh and bone. And he could eat, and he could have enjoyment, and he could appear, he could travel like you couldn't believe. Automobiles are crude, and they're full of labor and peril, as more people are killed in automobile accidents than by any other mode of being killed these days. So we see the labor and the curse that comes with that convenience, the conveniences of the world. That's the best that the world has to offer, people. He has so much more to offer. Okay, we'll be back and we'll continue our study in Judges. Stay tuned, and stay tuned for the news.